beginning at 8 and 9. 7, 8, and 9. Nehemiah chapter 8, 8 and 9. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah, the governor, Ezra, the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Amen.
All the day long, this is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse number 12. "We will give it back," they said, "and we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say." Then I summoned the priests and made the nobles and officials take an oath to do what they had promised. I also shook off the folds of my robe and said, "In this way, may God shake out their house and possessions, anyone who does not keep this promise. So may such a person be shaken out and emptied." At this, the whole assembly said, "Amen," and praise the Lord, and the people did as they had promised. Amen. Once again, good evening. It's good again for God to bless us to be in his presence once again. There's some questions that plague our minds sometimes, and we wonder what it is that the world sees, and sometimes what it is that we see when it comes to God's word. You know, Isaiah 55 in verse number 8 is a scripture that we go over and over and over in our minds. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as heaven's higher than earth, even so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snows from heaven, and returns not there, but it waters the earth, and it maketh to bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the flower and bread to the eater, so my word that goes forth out of my mouth, my word shall not return to me void. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in everything that I've sent it to." God says, my word is going to prosper. My word is not going to come back to me empty or void. My word is what you need. What does that mean to you when you think about God's word? I mean, how many of us in this room tonight look into God's word more than twice a week, three times a week, more than twice a day? How often do we look into God's word? In as much as God has given a special revelation to man, he expects man not only to treat that revelation with respect, but to know it, to have the word of God actually live in us, to know it and to know that God is with us through his word. But man has made a moral decision, you see, not to study God's word. We get to a certain point in our lives and we feel like we know it all already. And the other side stuff that we pick up is just a little lanyap, like we say in Louisiana. Man has made a moral decision not to study God's word. The book of Hosea shows God's attitude toward us when we allow ourselves to reject or neglect God's word. Because you see, when you put it to the side to favor something else, you're neglecting God's word. The fourth chapter opens with God bringing a legal charge against Israel. He says in chapter 4, verse 1, "Hear the word, O Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord has controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth. He has controversy because there's no mercy. He has controversy because there's no knowledge of God in the land." There was no reason for Israel to lack knowledge of God, none whatsoever. God had given a revelation to them, and to them only. They were the chosen nation of God. and he had gave them their word and set it right in the middle of them. Yet they had no appreciation for God's law. He says in chapter 8, verse 12 of Hosea, I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. They put it to the side. Sometimes when you were in school and you were growing up, somebody might write you a letter and you just put it to the side like you put your bills to the side right now. They're writing your letters and it says, listen, I need you to pay attention to what's written, and we put it to the side. And when it becomes delinquent, we run to the congregation for help. There's no reason for that. There's no reason for us to lay God's word to the side and deem ourselves as our own savior, as our own helper. There's no reason for Israel to do that to God as well. Instead of being disciples of the word of the Lord, the Israelites chased after idols. They committed spiritual adultery against the Lord. He says in chapter 5, verse number 4 of Hosea, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. They have not known who I am. Chasing after idols, pursuing immorality. Israel had no use for the revealed word of God. They had it, but they had no use for it. Hence, the knowledge of the Lord passed out of the land, and judgment came upon the children of Israel. And he says these words, which we are so familiar with, Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I also will forget you. The attitude of God toward Israel for allowing the revelation of God to be neglected and rejected is something that we should have no trouble understanding, that we have a need to constantly study God's word. We have a need to constantly study the revealed word that God has given to each and every one of us. So when we look at Isaiah 55:8, and he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways, what does that mean to you when he says that my word that I send out there among you is not going to return to me void or empty, but it will accomplish the things that I sent it for? He says, my word is going to prosper, and that means it's going to prosper with you or without you, within you or without you. God's word is going to go forth like a light in a dark place. But some of us have no need for God's word. Understand that fact, that we possess that revelation, just as Israel did. We have a moral responsibility for learning that word and obeying it, just as Israel did. We have the same responsibility. And since we have the same responsibility, let us hear the conclusion of this whole matter. He says, my people are destroyed. I need you not only to remember that, but to understand what he is saying to the people of that day and age. My people, the church is being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because we reject that knowledge, God says, I'm going to reject you. Revelation 2:5, I'm going to remove your candlestick because you just don't want to repent. I'm going to reject you, and you're not going to be a priest because you've forgotten the law of thy God, and I'm going to forget. You know, it's a sad thing. I've seen the newspapers over this last week where parents have been killing children. I mean, flat out killing. I saw in one account, one lady who had a set of twins, 2 years old twins, beautiful little girls. They quoted her as saying, I killed them with my bare hands. Killed them. Let me tell you something. When we decide that we're going to reject God's word, what are we doing? We are killing ourselves as well. We're committing spiritual suicide. We might think we cavalierly just leaning to the side and we're God's children because we meditate on his word. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Study a workman that need not be ashamed. Study rightly dividing the word of God. Study that you might know God's word and it might live in you. We can have cavalier attitudes about God's word because there are people dying every day asking and groping in the dark, looking for the light of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what, the faith that we have in Christ, true faith, is only based on the knowledge of God's word. There's idolatry out there, superstition out there. There's modern denominationalism. And all of these things thrive when people do not know the revealed word of God, and we allow it to go on around us and in our midst, and we say absolutely nothing about it. Nothing about it. New Orleans, all these voodoo queens, getting your palm read. We say nothing about it because it's culture. They had a rich culture in Ephesus too, didn't they? Had a rich culture in Galatia, and they were bewitched, didn't they? They had a rich culture. There's always a rich culture, but let me tell you something. My God is rich in his word. In the revelation that he gave us, it conquers all of those things. As a matter of fact, it renders them moot. Our faith is based on the knowledge of God's word. Denominationalism is thriving because we do not have enough knowledge to defeat that denominationalism where it stands. Divine religion, divine faith is based on the knowledge of God's word, and it cannot and will not exist where God's people, where men and women of God are ignorant of God's word. We've got to know the truth. It's going to set us free from sin. Don't you know you've always gotten in trouble when you couldn't remember what your mom told you that you needed to do? Well, I forgot. It didn't bail you out. It didn't bail you out. Did you listen to what I told you? I don't know if I heard you right, Mama. I'm saying it again. God's word, the repetition from God's word, teaches us and compels us to know God. It teaches us and compels us to know the Christ. It teaches and compels us to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, that we might know who God is, and rather that God might know us. Faith comes by hearing. Told the church at Rome, faith comes by hearing. I don't know what it is you're listening to, but if you're going to have the faith that comes from God, it comes from hearing, and it comes from hearing God's word. That's why I love the fact that Christianity is a taught doctrine. He says in John 6:44 and 45, it's written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that heard and learned of the Father comes unto me. Nothing about ignorance. Ignorance is left out. It's defeated. You've heard and you've learned. Now you come. You come. And we've got to know in order to be set free from sin. We've got to know the truth, John 8:32. The truth cannot exist. Women are ignorant of God's word. Furthermore, there are too many people in quote-unquote churches around this world, even in this community, whose faith is based on emotionalism. Now, I'm here to tell you, it's not based on God's word. It's based on emotionalism, and emotionalism is not divine in its origin. We've all seen people shouting and walking and throwing their hands up, I love Jesus, at the top of their voices. Nick can even tell you what John 3:16 says. But oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how he visits me and walks with me and talks with me and how he does all. And they don't even know where John 3:16 is in their Bibles. Don't know who Nahum is. Emotionalism is void of the knowledge of the word of God. It has nothing to do with the Christian faith at all. Because the faith that we have, the divine faith that God has given us, it exists and it thrives in direct proportion to man's knowledge of the word of God. It's directly proportional, you see. Not inversely proportional. We walk away from God all the time. We neglect his word. And that neglect is a moral decision that we make. Because if man doesn't know the word of God today, let me tell you something. This is a high fact. He doesn't know it because he doesn't want to know it. That's plain and simple. He doesn't want to know it. And sometimes we waste our time with it. Sometimes we cast our pearls among swine and they trample all over it because they don't want to know it. And we know they don't want to know it, but we want to punch our ticket and say, you know what? I told them about the church, didn't I? Oh, I told them, they know now they're responsible. You're not punching your ticket.
You're not giving them everything that you're supposed to give them. You're just checking a list.
The Word of God is so easily accessible today. A man can download a Bible on his phone. On his laptop, you can download it for free, right? Way back in the day, you can buy a Bible for less than a dollar on any open market. You can do it. If you don't know the Word of God, you don't want to know it. You don't want to know it. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. Man doesn't want to know today because he's rejected and neglected God's divine word. He's chosen to worship other things, materialism. He's chosen to worship entertainment. Boy, they're getting paid by the barrel of money out there, don't they, for entertainment? Hand over fist, they making that money. But that's their God. And they have their reward already, don't you see? But the Bible tells us that our reward is not on this earth. Our citizenship is not on this earth, but it's in heaven. It's in heaven. They worship society and all those things that show a rejection of God's word. I want to tell you something that you know already, but I just want to say it again, that spiritual ignorance is an offense to God. It offends God more than you can know. You can't read Hosea 4:6 without noticing how offended God is with Israel because they allowed themselves to become ignorant of God's holy writ. And the same principle is true today. You see, Jesus doesn't He doesn't mince words when he says, he that is of God hears God's word. Yet therefore, he that does not hear him is not of God. John 8:47. If you hear God, you belong to God. If you don't hear him, you don't belong to him. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me, Jesus said. The man who doesn't have any interest to receive the Christ and the gospel has rejected God. He's offended God. Spiritual ignorance is destructive. There's a lot of collateral damage that goes along with spiritual ignorance. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Spiritual ignorance destroys the very soul of man. James 1:21 says, I want you to receive with meekness this engrafted word which can save your souls. But it doesn't stop right there, right? He doesn't stop right there. He goes on and he says in verse number 22, but be ye doers, you remember that? Of the word. Not just hearers only, because when you do, you deceive yourselves. God's word will not return unto him void. It's going to prosper. Let's be doers and not hearers only, because there's deception in that. For a man beholds himself in the mirror and he goes away and he forgets what it is. Isn't that something? Forget what manner of man that he was. He forgets God's word that's sown in his heart. He forgets what he's heard. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what they do. That's what James says. There's a blessing in hearing and doing God's word. We cannot plead ignorance and get away with it. It's destructive. It destroys the soul of man. And those who do not have the love of the truth in their hearts, they're going to die. When men do not know the proper way to worship God, the conditions which they must meet to obtain God's grace and salvation, when they don't know the nature, work, and organization of the church, the New Testament church cannot exist. Somebody's got to know something in order for the church to thrive. There's going to always be that remnant that God gives that the church can continue on age after age after age, for the gates of hell and the ignorance of hell shall not prevail against it. Going to continue. So no matter how much of God's word you put aside and choose to be ignorant of his will, it's not going to change the fact that God's God's church is built on his word. It's built on the foundation of the truth, and that truth we must embrace in our lives. In a similar fashion, there are those who are known these truths and they've departed from them. And there are some who just cease to be God's people when spiritual ignorance is all around them. They don't want to be it. But what happens in that case is called apostasy, and it destroys the church. There's this big Christian church and this big Christian effort out there in the world today. And the Christian church formerly stood identified with New Testament Christianity. But after the departure from the revelation of God and introduced an instrument of music into the worship of the church, the digression was quickly realized that they were not God's body. Today, the Christian church people have no concept of New Testament Christianity. They have no concept of the nature of the church, the mission, and the worship and the organization. Some among them no longer respect the scriptures as God's inspired word. They don't. But they're the Christian church. Spiritual ignorance has destroyed this people and will destroy any other group of people who neglect the study of God's word. You're going to be destroyed if you don't hear his word. It's coming, so get ready. It affects others just because we're ignorant. Why? 4:6, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget you. Can you imagine praying to God and he says, listen, I'm just going to turn you off. You can say whatever it is that you want to say, you got to speak to the hand because I'm not listening. There's going to come a time in our lives when we're going to stand before God, and that is what's going to happen. He's going to say, depart from me, for I never, ever knew you. But when it was time to hear me, you didn't hear me. You listened to your own heart. You didn't follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You didn't follow my word. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. But Lord, I wasn't a sinner. I fed the naked, I fed the hungry, I took care of all those things. I did all those things I'm supposed to do. Checklist, God says. Checklist. When I was really thirsty, did you feed me? When I was really hungry, did you feed me? Did you give me from God's word to quench my spiritual thirst and to feed my soul? Did you give it to me? You can't ever give what you don't have. Spiritual ignorance affects those who willingly refuse to obey God's word. It does. And one thing I want you to consider more than anything else is if spiritual ignorance has a collateral damage, the effect goes a lot deeper because it affects our children. It affects our children. How can they know if you don't know? You know, a lot of people say you can learn a whole lot of things from your children. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But how would we feel? What sense does it make to be in the church for 40 years and still be feeling the same old song? Dancing the same old dirge, the same old funeral song, sitting in the same pew.
Well, that might not have nothing to do with it. At least you're here, amen?
We have need to learn God's word that we might be able to teach. Not necessarily teach in a classroom setting. Teach in the way you speak. Teach in the way you live. Teach in the way you behave. Teach God's word. Let it be seen in you. Because if not, there's a lot of damage. I've seen some cases where the Christian fell away from grace. And because they fell away from grace, their children couldn't even get to where God was. And ultimately, they fall away themselves. What a sad commentary that is. But I also knew some people who knew enough of God's word that they can decide to straighten up their lives and return to Bible worship if they wanted to. In the meantime, however, there are a lot of children that are growing up without the knowledge of the Lord being planted in their minds. And they can't recognize the difference in worship of God and the device of man. They can't recognize it because it's becoming too close now. And as a consequence of that, they'll never learn God's word and study the truth. They'll never learn it. They'll never know because everything they're doing is seems to be acceptable. And they can't see a difference. So they never make a difference. They will never, ever know God. And Jesus said, every tree, every plant which my heavenly Father had not planted shall be rooted up. He says, leave them alone. Leave them alone. They want to be ignorant? Leave them alone. Let the blind lead the blind in the ditch. They both going to fall in the ditch because if you got ignorant leading ignorant, well, you're not going, listen, Grandma said, you're not going nowhere. We jumped a lot of ditches growing up, amen? We fell in a lot of ditches growing up. If you fall in the ditch with God's word, you're not going anywhere else. Why lie in the ditch? Why? We don't have to. We don't have to be ignorant of God's word. But you've got to know that our spiritual ignorance affects the lives of others. It affects our children. It affects our friends. It affects whoever else that we might be influencing in our lives. And it affects them right down to the road of their spiritual damnation if we lay in that ditch not trying to understand God's word. It affects others, and some people don't believe that. Don't believe it. I want you to listen to this, and I want you to tell me what you think about it. We just got finished reading it to you. We're going to read it again. I want you to listen to this. James chapter 1 and verse number 2 says this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance shall have her perfect work. Perseverance is what's going to get it for us. If we persevere in God's word, we're going to get it. He goes on and says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Well, isn't that something? Is that a novel idea? If you don't know, ask God. If you don't know what God says, don't ask anybody else. If you don't know what I said, don't whisper about it. Come ask me. Amen? If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to you. But when you ask, isn't this incredible? But when you do, when you find it in you to ask about God and his word, you must believe and not doubt, because one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You're going to stay ignorant because you don't believe. Ignorance and unbelief will cast a lot of people into the bowels of hell. Such a person is double-minded and unstable. Isn't God incredible? Unstable in all their ways. So he goes on further down in the scriptures. He says, listen, don't just hear what I got to tell you. I want you to do it. I want you to do it. It's up to us to do it. We're talking about God's word, is his holy writ. And somehow folks feel that because they're ignorant of God's word, and they're going to go to heaven anyway. Make up all these hypothetical situations. What if they had a man on some island that never knew who God was? Get out of here with that. We're not talking about some man on an island. We're talking about you and your soul right now, because you don't want to upset Christ. You're not on an island. You can put yourself on one if you want to, but I'm not talking about nobody from Swahili or wherever that is. You've got to deal with people where they are, and you've got to deal with the people that's in front of you. I can see Philip right now walking up to the eunuch and says, you know what? What you asking me, what you reading for? I'm not concerned with that. What if we had a man over in Alexandria somewhere? We talking about me in Ethiopia right now, Philip. No, I'm not dealing with you. I'm talking about a man in Alexandria who might not have a chance to know God. But the word is right in front of me, Philip. Why can't we? That's what we do. We find all other kind of issues because we don't know what to tell people when the Bible is open in front of us. What is it that we fear with God? Study it. Study it. Get it. Live it. So when someone walks up to you or God leads you to that person as he led Philip, you can start right where they are and teach them to Christ. That's what we must do. That's what we have to do. That's what we will do because we are going to heaven. We're going. We're going. And it's by God's word that we are going. In a flash, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, God is going to be here, church. Will he find any that's faithful? Will he find his word in you, the Holy Writ? Or will he find someone that's just cavalier and lazy who just have the Bible and is collecting dust? Some people have it open, but they don't read it. Some folks read some of it, but they don't read all of it. Some folks believe some of it, but they don't believe all of it. What in the Samuel is that? He says, if you're going to read it, you're going to believe it, because I'm telling you, it's not coming back to me void. But it will accomplish everything that I sent it out to do. The question tonight is, can God's word be accomplished in you? Is it in you? What can you do to be more effective in living this life as a Christian? One thing is to hear the word of God. Hear it. Hear, O Israel, our God is one. We've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. We've got to repent of our sins. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that you got to repent, but you got to do it. We've got to confess Christ in every phase and facet of our lives. And we've got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. We've got to know that. That it's God's word that leads us to the water, and it's God's word that's going to sustain us outside of that water. In the church, out the church, we need God's word. Let's not be ignorant of God's word. At the same time, let's not be ignorant of the wiles of Satan, because he will come up alongside you and deceive you into thinking that God's word says something that it really doesn't say. And because you don't study and know it, you're going to follow right along with that guy's and find yourself busting hell wide open. It's a choice that you've made because God has put it there for you. Let's see what we can glean from God's word as we live our lives according to Christ. If we can help you with that, why don't you come up and stand and sing God's invitation song.
The Lord.